Every click in the Azure portal, every command you run, every script that touches a resource, each one triggers the same silent question. Is this identity allowed to do this action, here? One system answers that question billions of times a day, and today you learn to think exactly like it does. Welcome back. With episode 6 we finished the identity part of the series. Now we cross to the resource plane. This episode is the theory of Azure Role-Based Access Control, RBAC, the model behind every authorization decision on Azure resources. Master the model once, and both your day job and the exam questions become mechanical. First, what it is. Azure RBAC is the authorization system built on Azure Resource Manager, the management layer from episode 1, and it provides fine-grained access management for Azure resources. It answers three questions. Who has access? What can they do? And which areas can they reach? Typical uses. Let one user manage virtual machines in a subscription, while another manages virtual networks. Let a database administrator's group manage databases. Let an application access everything in one resource group. Two facts to anchor immediately. Using Azure RBAC is free, included with your subscription, and that includes Azure Custom Roles. Do not confuse them with Microsoft Entra Custom Roles, the directory ones, which cost P1, two systems, two price tags, as we said in episode 4. And second, Azure RBAC governs Azure resources, Microsoft Entra roles govern the directory, next episode contrasts them fully. Now the heart of the model. Access is never granted to a person directly. It is granted by creating a role assignment and revoked by removing one. A role assignment binds exactly three elements, memorize them as who, what, where. Element 1, the who, a security principle. That is a user, a group, a service principle, or a managed identity. Any object that can request access. Element 2, the what, a role definition. A collection of permissions. It can be high level, like owner, or laser specific, like virtual machine reader. Azure ships hundreds of built-in roles, organized in categories, privileged, general, compute, networking, storage, and so on. If none fits, you build a custom role, still free. Element 3, the where, a scope. Our four-level ladder from episode 1, management group, subscription, resource group, or a single resource. Principal role scope, PRS, who, what, where. Every RBAC question you will ever face is asking you to identify or fix one of those three letters. The classic example from the documentation, the marketing group, is assigned the contributor role on the pharma sales resource group. Every user in marketing can create and manage any resource inside that resource group, and nothing outside it, unless some other assignment says so. Let's open up the role definition, because there is arithmetic inside. A role definition lists operations in four properties, split across two planes. On the control plane, managing the resource itself, there are actions which grant, and not actions which subtract. On the data plane, touching the data inside the resource, there are data actions and not data actions, same logic. Effective permissions are pure subtraction. Actions minus not actions on the control plane. Data actions minus not data actions on the data plane. Two important subtleties. First, not actions is not a deny. It merely carves operations out of what actions granted. If a second role assignment grants the carved out operation, the additive model gives it back. Second, the two planes are independent. Managing a storage account does not by itself let you read the blobs inside it. That is precisely why data actions exist. A role like storage blob, data reader, grants read access to the blobs within a storage account, separately from control of the account. Here is the payoff of that arithmetic. Picture a custom role whose actions contain just an asterisk everything, and whose not actions carve out all write and delete operations under the authorization resource provider. What can its holder do? Manage every resource, but never create or delete role assignments, so they cannot grant access to anyone. That is essentially the shape of the built-in contributor role. Full resource management, no access management. Next, what happens with multiple assignments? Azure RBAC is an additive model. Your effective permissions are the sum of all your role assignments. There is no most specific wins rule, and there is no way to subtract. The canonical scenario: a user holds contributor at subscription scope, and someone also gives them reader on one resource group inside it. What are their rights on that resource group? Contributor. Full stop. The reader assignment adds nothing and restricts nothing. Say it with me. You cannot narrow access by adding a smaller role. If you need someone to have less access somewhere, you restructure the assignments. You do not pile on more roles. Groups make the additive model powerful. Role assignments are transitive for groups. If a user is in group G2, and G2 is a member of group G1, and G1 has a role assignment, the user gets those permissions. And remember the contrast from episode 3, this is the exact opposite of Microsoft Entra's behavior for apps and licenses, where nesting propagates nothing. Same word, group, two systems, opposite behaviors. In RBAC, nesting flows. In Entra app assignment and licensing, it does not. There is one mechanism that does say no, deny assignments. A deny assignment blocks specified actions even if a role assignment grants them, and deny is checked first. But here is the thing. You cannot create deny assignments yourself. Azure creates and manages them on your behalf through Azure Blueprints and Azure Managed Applications to protect resources those systems own. Now let's trace the full evaluation flow, the 9 steps Azure Resource Manager walks for every request. Step 1. The principal acquires a token for Resource Manager. Crucially, the token includes the user's transitive group memberships. This is where nesting pays off. Step 2. The call hits Resource Manager with that token attached. Step 3. Resource Manager retrieves all the role assignments and deny assignments that apply to the target resource. Step 4. Deny assignments are checked first. If one applies, access is blocked. Game over. Step 5. The role assignments are narrowed to this user and their groups. Step 6. The wildcard arithmetic. Actions minus not actions, data actions minus not data actions. Step 7. Is the requested action included in a role at the requested scope? If not, access is not allowed. Step 8. Does the assignment carry conditions? Attribute-based rules, for example on storage? If not, access is allowed. Step 9. If there are conditions, they get the last word. Met, allowed. Not met, denied. Walk one concrete case through the flow. Group G1 has virtual machine contributor on subscription A. Group G2 is nested in G1. Ben belongs only to G2, and he successfully manages virtual machines. Why? His token carried both memberships. G2 directly, G1 transitively. Resource Manager matched G1's assignment at step 5. The virtual machine actions sat inside the role's actions. No deny, no conditions, allowed. And once more for contrast, that same nesting would deliver Ben no application and no license in Microsoft Entra ID. A word on scope discipline. Lower levels inherit assignments from higher ones. Contributor on a subscription means contributor on everything inside. So the practical rule is, assign at the narrowest workable scope. The narrower the scope, the smaller the blast radius, if that identity is ever compromised. An audit script that reads blobs in one container should get a data role like storage blob data reader at the resource scope, not reader on the whole subscription. Two closing facts. Scope strings. For tools, a scope is that / separated resource identifier from episode 1. Subscription, then resource group, then provider, then resource. Management groups have their own prefix. And architecture. A role assignment is an extension resource. It lives as a child of whatever it extends, which is exactly why RBAC attaches to any scope. Finally, storage. Role definitions, role assignments, and deny assignments are stored and replicated globally, not per region, because Resource Manager itself has a global endpoint and authorization must be enforceable everywhere. Delete RBAC data, and it is deleted globally. Self-test. What 3 elements make a role assignment? Principal, role definition, scope. Who, what, where. How do you compute effective permissions? Actions minus not actions. Data actions minus not data actions. Contributor at subscription plus reader on a resource group inside it. Effective rights on that group. Contributor. Additive, no subtraction. Who creates deny assignments and when are they checked? Azure itself, via blueprints and managed applications. Checked before roles. Why is RBAC data global? Because Resource Manager routes requests to the nearest region, so every region must be able to authorize. The essentials. RBAC is built on Resource Manager and free, custom roles included. A role assignment is principal plus role plus scope. Create to grant, remove to revoke. Permissions are subtraction inside a role and addition across assignments. Never subtraction across assignments. Group assignments are transitive, unlike intranesting for apps and licenses. Deny assignments trump everything, and only Azure creates them. Assign at the narrowest workable scope. And the whole decision runs through a 9-step evaluation. Token with groups, deny first, narrow, arithmetic, scope check, conditions last. Next time we make it operational, assigning roles in the portal step by step, eligible versus active assignments with privileged identity management, reading and interpreting existing access, including what the check access tool does not show, and the full three-way distinction between Azure roles, Microsoft Entra roles, and the retired classic administrator roles. See you in episode 8.